This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Adetula broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. We're actually posted up in the Military Women's Memorial on the National Mall because we are getting ready and we're gearing up for Army-Navy. The 125th edition of it is presented by USAA. It's taking place tomorrow at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland, which is the second time that this game has been played in the D.C. area ever. In its long and storied history. So a real interesting situation that we got going here. That's part of the football weekend, but the Football Friday also always leans into Texans football. What are the factors that are going to determine if the Texans get a victory over the Miami Dolphins? Before we dip into that, I do want to let you know, practice already getting going, actually probably largely through a majority of practice as they started at 11:15 on the field at NRG Stadium. No surprises, right? The people that you expect to be practicing did indeed practice. Foley Fatukasi is out there, which, of course, points to the idea that the defensive line at full strength. Apparently, according to some of the people out there, Christian Harris moving good. So he can already taste that bottle of wine. I know. What's the name of that wine again?
Camus.
Yeah. So I bet, Ron, you might need to go to the ATM or whatever to go down to the liquor store and pick that up. But, yes, that also bodes well. It feels like you will have a majority of your complement, although, of course, no Juice Scruggs in this. And, of course, we mentioned earlier today, Jalen Petrie officially placed on IR with that season-ending surgery that he'll have to have on the torn pectoral that he's dealing with. But, Texans win because, Texans lose because, especially Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Dolphins, talked in his presser today, and he didn't seem very optimistic about Teron Armstead, the left tackle for these Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
That might be a possibility of win because Tua Tagovailoa gets the ball out quickly, but if Teron Armstead, who's been very good at not allowing pressure quick, is not there on the left edge, maybe that means Will Anderson Jr. can get in there and, at the very least, be something into his vision that maybe throws him off of his very high completion percentage, or even possibly gets in there and maybe actually gets a sack on this dude that does not take very much.
Oh, it could happen. Obviously, it could. With the Dolphins have had a very, very troubled year with their offensive line. Guys in and out, injuries, underperforming, but they've been able to do it because of the game planning. Go figure. First on the practice report, just so people know, we'll know pretty much 90% of the way if Christian Harris is in fact going to play by this evening. Maybe by the end of our show, but certainly by this afternoon or evening. because the Friday injury report does list out, you know, or questionable or probable or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know if they go straight to out.
No, they do. On Fridays they do.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll say a player is out, and that's generally 90% of the time. Yeah,
they might go like doubtful, questionable, no, and then later rule him out game time.
But what I'm saying, if he's not going to play, I think they're going to say out on him.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll see what it looks like. My
opinion. If he's questionable, he's playing. I don't think he can be anything more than questionable simply because
of what was Nico Collins?
On that Friday?
I'll
have to go and double check.
Oh, that's a good question because that would be what Reggie's talking about.
Yeah,
there are some exceptions.
He practiced that Friday.
Yeah. I think he was out on that Friday. I think. But our listeners can help and we will look it up.
I feel like he practiced because we thought he was playing.
But once their injury report came out, maybe not. But either way, just we'll have a very, very good gauge of that. And then everybody else being healthy in there and participating, obviously a good sign. And then we get to the big question here: Texans win because, Texans lose because. I think Texans win because they finally get a running game and protection from the left guard position, but really by extension the entire offensive line. I think if you could, they've been one or the other at left guard. Either Kenyon Green giving up all kinds of pressure and getting targeted by defensive coordinators and defenders, or Joe Mixon not able to run as much behind Juice Scruggs at left guard. So, if they can – now I sound like Bobby Slowick. just execute, play a complete game. I mean, but that's what it is at left guard. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's either going to be Kenyon Green or Zach Thomas. I think also Texans win because the Dolphins defense, again, has a little bit of a tough time actually finishing out tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, the likes of Nico Collins have an opportunity. And then, of course, Joe Mixon. We know that he runs with the level of violence that is befitting somebody who's going to break some tackles. Yeah, if they have an opportunity to make the Dolphins pay for not being on their P's and Q's, bringing guys all the way to the ground, wrapping them all the way up, you're going to see some explosives, some chunk plays, and that's something that this team, when they're at their best, they're picking those up because we know this offense isn't really the one that's going to just matriculate down the field. Big plays are really helpful in that, and broken tackles can aid in that. So that, I think that's a Texans win because as well.
Now, Texans lose because I guess you could actually point to what I said at left guard if that doesn't happen, if they don't get the complete game. But I'm going to go somewhere else. I think Texans lose because Nico Collins is still it. Like that's the biggest adjustment I want.
It is in like the only real
wide receiver.
Consistent,
I know the tight end came up a little bit in the last game and played pretty well, Dalton Schultz. But that's the one adjustment, like an actual adjustment, that I think falls directly on Bobby Slowick. We know Tank Dell is good. We know what Nico Collins can do already. We know, for what it's worth, that guys like, whether it's Robert Woods or John Metchie, have had their moments. Why can't we get these guys playing and having more than one wide receiver have an impact on a game? That, to me, is a Bobby Slowick thing.
Yeah, and I don't fully understand it either. Maybe some of that is also like whatever is plaguing CJ, because CJ seems to have a level of confidence that is honestly, obviously, expected.
Mm-hmm.
When you're throwing to Nico Collins, you're like, hey, I'll throw it over there wherever I need to throw it. Throw it high, throw it low. He will get to it. I do wonder if he feels like he has to be more pinpoint accurate and then really adds a level of pressure and there's a level of paralysis by analysis and trying to get the ball to some of these other guys. And I'm leaning on some of the, especially earlier on in the season where you see him kind of throwing the ball into the dirt as he's trying to keep the ball out of harm's way, trying to keep it from turning the ball over, and then sometimes not giving his wide receivers a good chance of bringing it in. And that might be one of the things is Texas win because C.J. Stroud looks more like himself just off of a week of R&R, like just off of an opportunity to he talked about it, what was it, earlier this week, that he kind of just got away from football a little bit, right, and get himself back centered, back to the guy that we know he's capable of. Maybe that'll help. But I want to throw a lose because out here, and that is Texans lose because they're literally the best unit on their team, although it is back healthy, is neutralized by the other team that's playing here, right? One of the things the Miami Dolphins do is they get the ball out quickly. That neutralizes a defensive line that has been very good. You got two dudes that are almost bona fide Pro Bowlers, like almost guaranteed. In fact, they're both top five when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year, and Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
If those guys, in addition to Folu Fatukasi, in addition to Mario Edwards, in addition to Danico Autry, all these dudes healthy and ready to go, but it doesn't help if those guys aren't getting there in the
2 seconds that it takes for Tua Tagovailoa to get the ball out in space to these guys that are fast, if those guys are neutralized, how good does this defense end up looking? That could be one of the things that is problematic, that puts a lot of stress on Jimmy Ward at that nickelback position, on linebackers like
there's the other one.
Like Henry Toto, like Neville Hewitt, on the safeties to not just like obviously be sound in coverage, but then to come up and make tackles if necessary if those guys run in space. Like, all of those things are going to put pressure on the second and third lines of your defense if the first line of your defense isn't able to like get their hands up on the football or even get back and pressure and affect the throwing game by Tua Tagovailoa.
The Jimmy Ward thing is just fascinating to me because it's impossible not to respect what he is and how well he can play. It's just in a weird spot. You know, he's in a spot that he's not most comfortable with. He'll tell you that. That's an interesting one. But let me ask you guys both this. Let's say, you know, we're all obviously hoping, you know, and looking to see the Texans show some improvement and do those things that we're talking about right here, winning because of this or that. It looks the same, and that's a very real possibility. What if the offense looks the same? How much is the pressure ramped up?
On who?
On Bobby Sloy.
Who would we be on Bobby Sloy? Well, it depends. Pressure from where? Because, I mean, outside of building, fans are obviously in this place where there's a lot of people that have
we're seeing
already
it right now
called
the
for Bobby Sloy's job. There are a lot of people that are, you know, perplexed and done with it. It feels like in the organization there's a level of comfort with the idea that there is a certainty of his quality, that I think they're looking at this season as some level of anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand how you can get there with a young guy, and you go, these are the learning pains of a young play caller as he's figured some things out with a lot of adversity he's been thrown at him with all the various injuries and kind of a lack of execution at times. And it does feel like, I don't know that this game would change it if it looks the same, especially, again, because you're going up against some teams that have been competitive, right?
But we're getting hints, though, even from inside the building, talking about these execution questions, I mean, comments, and just mentally, it's a mental thing and all this other stuff. So it's not like the Texans, like, you're right, the pressure from outside is the noise, so to speak. It's us, it's fans, it's national, you know, writers and all that. But they know they have these issues. I mean, there is pressure within to get better. They're telling us they need to get better.
I think they're at a point in the season where, I know you hate this phrase, but it is what it is, man. we almost at the end of the season now. So now we got to roll with what we got, maybe lean on the defense. Or I don't think it's time to try to do anything different or try to ramp up Bobby or put all this at this point. We trying to get to the playoffs and make a run.
Well, yeah, you got to put your best foot forward. In fact, Tank Dell, talking to, I believe, Aaron Wilson, he used the phrase that, you know, it's like all these games are playoff games now. And when you talk about the stakes, I think that those are stakes. And one of the things that we always see we often see is if these guys are talking about it, a lot of times you can look at it and you can see that's probably messaging that goes
exactly.
up. It does feel like around that building, they are playing with those level of stakes. But when you say, does it ramp up the pressure in that way, right? The stakes, yes. But I don't know. And I think this is what you meant, like pressure on, does that change his standing? It feels like that's a no.
Because you've had the – really? It feels like it's a no, it changes his standing?
Like when it comes to...
Within the organization?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. You've had 2 weeks here. Yeah,
but see, I feel like they're in a place where they're in first place.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're...
And they possibly could end this weekend with a AFC South championship.
Absolutely.
Which I think that makes a big difference. If they were fighting for first place or something like that, then I could see him dealing with the pressure, but... Right now, they're in first place. They could win the division soon. So I don't think that pressure is there.
Well, obviously, hopefully we won't get there. I'm just saying, if we see the same stuff and the same questions, you know, we're talking about Monday, I'm like, man, you know.
Yeah, I just don't think as much they could do in this season right now, man. This is a conversation for after the season.
Yeah, well, for sure. No, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, they're not going to make any changes mid-season.
No, that was obvious, but I'm not sure if there's change in there in the offseason as of right now. I mean, unless it gets aggressively worse.
Well, there will be changes. It just may not be Bobby Slowick.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Because
there's
going to be changes on the offensive line, and there's going to be other changes.
Yeah.
Like significant ones. But, Huh?
You said significant. You got some news to break?
No, I've been saying it. I think both tackles are going to have different addresses. I really do. That's just me, you know, for what it's worth. And obviously you need some help at left guard if it doesn't work out. Again, if it doesn't work out starting this week.
On the text line from 832, Nico was a game-time decision for that Detroit Lions game that he was ultimately in.
But I'm wondering what he was listed at on the Friday injury report.
Okay, I'll see
that,
if I,
that's what I need to find.
Because I felt like he practiced. I felt, or
no, he did.
He was out there.
He
on
was out
Friday.
There. Yeah, he was out there Friday.
And usually if you practice on Friday, you most likely play.
Yeah.
Or if you don't practice on Friday, you don't play.
Yeah.
On the text line, we're at a point of the season where we can no longer lean on the defense. The offense has to open up and carry.
Fair.
I don't know if carry, but they've got to
do more.
Add more for certain.
No, that's more than fair.
Now, speaking of Nico Collins, did you see this? Nico Collins was fined this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that caught me by surprise, just on the nature of, we know Nico Collins, like in his demeanor. And really, I think you could say you can have a good idea of his character. Like, he just seems like he's a real chill dude, good dude. And it was like, fined for what? I don't recall anything.
What did he do?
Right. And apparently the fine was levied because he tossed a football to fans in the stands. But I guess threw would probably be the right word. Will Kunkel went and he asked the NFL, and the NFL said that if you give, like, hand a player or lightly toss, or not a player, hand a fan or lightly toss a fan the football, obviously that
you're
is
good.
Fine.
Yeah.
But you cannot throw it into the stands, even if it is for that same purpose. And what the hell are we doing here?
That is exactly – this is a true what are we doing here, guys, question. The guy, I mean, he used to be able to punt a football into the stands, and who cares? It's a football. They see it coming. Everybody's reaching for it. He threw a football in the stands. You're going to find it. Was it 15,000? I think is what
I don't
it
think
was.
It was that much.
I think it was.
I thought it was five? I thought it was about 5 grand, something like that.
Again, what are we doing here? So let's think about this. You know, talk about juxtaposing something against the other. You can't throw a football into the stands. But you can hurl your fully padded body into the stands after a touchdown.
Yeah.
You can throw yourself as a supreme athlete in full pads and a helmet into the stands without getting fined, but you can't throw a football.
When you say throw yourself,
they
like
do.
The Lambo leap, and it is $5,000.
They do it here. They do it here. I've seen it done here.
When you say throw your, they're not like jumping all the way in. I think that might not be the fairest.
They hurl themselves into the stands, oftentimes head first.
It does still feel ridiculous.
Yeah. But you can't throw a football. This is a 220-pound athlete, scores a touchdown. I'm going to run as fast as I can, jump over this wall, and land on you. That's what they're saying. But you can't throw a football.
Yeah. No. And the thing is, like, they made it seem like he threw the ball in the crowd like Pat Beverly style or something,
exactly.
Man. No, he just kind of threw it up. Like, everybody, yeah. I mean, I ain't bust nobody in the nose or something.
Yeah. Nico said it's for the kids. I seen he was screaming and was thinking, here you go, big dog. Here's the ball. I guess you think you're going to poke somebody in the eye. They think you're going to poke somebody in the eye or something. Yeah. Nico went further to say that it was definitely worth it. So this is not going to change what he is. But it is weird that, he's got to come up off of $5,000 for trying to get
some kid in the front row.
Like he threw a bullet pass or something.
You got some kid in the front row eating popcorn, minding his own business. Here comes a 220-pound linebacker falling on him, jumping over the stands. But you can do that.
Right, 832 said Nico tossed the ball, and NFL said F them kids. Apparently that's what it was. Yeah.
We're going to take this money, though.
Yeah, that's real nasty work. At least these fines typically go to charity. That's the only thing that I can say. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us as we are broadcast live from Washington, D.C., ahead of the 125th edition of Army-Navy that's going to happen tomorrow. Coming up next, it's time for us to do our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, I don't know what you guys are laughing about over there, but
shout out to Hugh Douglas.
Hugh Douglas, WIP over there.
We family.
We're right next to
him. We're family.
Another Odyssey Sports Station. We're hanging out with our folks.
Yeah. We're about to give him a good player, probably.
Okay, we sure are.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, well,
I don't know.
Yeah, man, that was the conversation.
Shout out to the Astros.
Yeah. There's some audio here that I guess I need to get to the
people.
We'll
get to that. As far as confessions, I'll start here with this one. And this is not exactly breaking news, but there are a number of reasons that I could never be in the military academy, whether it's Navy, Army, etc., which I obviously respect, big in my family and all that, but that's not for me. But did y'all – I know y'all heard this. We were listening to a couple of guys from USAA that were both – one from the Naval Academy and served for a long time. One from the
– From West Point?
From West Point and served for a long time. And they were saying that at each university, at any point, an upperclassman can come up to you and say and ask you how many days until they beat Army. And it could be 262. And then the second thing you have to know is how many times they beat Army in any game. Could be volleyball. Could be a swimming competition.
Oh, man.
Could be anything. Do you realize how I wouldn't even walk the campus if they like let's say how
you
many,
gotta have an app on your phone. Like,
how many days until like let's say I'll say swimming. There's a swim meet, Army Navy swim meet. So you have to know 6 days. The next
it's
one,
not just football.
The next meeting between Army and Navy, and then the football game as well. So like 212, sir.
Dude,
I would lose my mind every day. I'd be so anxious.
Don't we got other important stuff to do? Shouldn't we be fighting for this country?
That and.
I ain't worried about no damn game.
And know how many days
you better have a calendar.
Until you beat Army or beat Navy.
You better have a damn calendar.
I was like, you kidding me? I'd be doing the math in my head as I'm walking out the door. No, that's not right. Well, I forgot about volleyball. Ah.
Yeah, just my terrible memory would be the reason why I couldn't get into the military academy. Probably amongst other things, if we're going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be a real issue for me personally.
These are my confessions.
I gotta confess. I spent a year in Kansas in college. I've always thought I love kind of the East Coast and everything. It's not even like it's not that bad out here. Man, we are inside. We're broadcasting at the Military Women's Memorial,
mm-hmm.
And I am in here with a top coat on and a beanie. And I'm cold, and I'm just like
we're in an icebox.
I can't live up here, man. Like I gotta live. Like even if I didn't want to live in Texas for the rest of my life, yeah. I gotta live yeah. in Texas for the rest of my life because yeah. I am not built for anything else than this.
This is ghetto, man.
I am ashamed at how the lack of comfort that I have in a place that they've made pretty damn comfortable for us. Just because
they're great.
I don't like being the slightest bit of cold.
I picked a bad day to not wear socks again.
Why are you not wearing socks? What is wrong with you?
I don't wear socks.
Nasty, man. Just it's a nasty
awesome.
Old man.
I have lovely, pretty, aromatic feet.
Oh, don't do that.
Nah, I did.
You got fisherman feet.
Also, like, that's another layer, right? Like, layers.
That's what I'm saying. I picked important. A bad day. I should have worn some socks today.
Did you not know we were in Washington, D.C.?
I did.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I just didn't know about the socks.
Okay. Very good.
These are my confessions.
So, I told y'all earlier this week how I went to the gym
mm-hmm.
on Monday.
Yeah.
And
5 days ago.
Yeah. And today is Friday. It is December 13th at 12:29. And, dog, I'm still sore, man.
Still sore? What happened? You must have done something.
No, I think what it is, I did a full body workout.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so
everything you know what it is
just sore.
This wasn't just Figgy going to the gym. You had a trainer.
I did, yeah.
Big mistake.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
all
how.
All due respect to trainers.
Hey, he took it easy, though, because, like, yeah. I wasn't maxing out and all that stuff. But, man, I was so doggone sore to the point. This is my confession.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was coming to a hotel, you know, for the Army-Navy game. I was about to take a bath, man. I was about to soak. I was like, I hope they got a bathtub. I never took a bath in the hotel. Dog, I was about to be in that raw booty.
Oh, no.
In that tub, man. I was about to soak.
Oh,
man. So we don't have a bathtub. It's a stand-in shower.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, I was about
to.
This bougie.
we're going to leave you here.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to call the front desk.
But, I did that for y'all's benefit.
Yeah,
that's right, Joseph. It is warm outside. It's only 36 degrees, and yet and still, I am.
A lot of concrete around us.
I am looking forward to being back.
These are my confessions.
I got to tell you, I think I've been contemplating your question here about Army Navy. Army has won, three in a row, something like that, four in a row.
I'd have to double check that. I should.
It was
that,
a good
honestly.
Game last year.
It was a real good game last year. But I think I'm gonna be pulling for Navy.
Okay.
I like to win the team that hasn't won in a while gets it back. But I feel like. And I've got more of a connection with
two
Army.
Two in a row for Amy.
Three out of the last four.
Woo!
Six out of the last eight.
Dang.
Army been doing something.
Was Army. But Navy had a big streak before that.
Yes, they did.
Navy had like
that looked like 10.
11, 12
sound
in a
like
row.
Y'all talk about Michigan and Ohio State right now,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a bigger connection with Army just in family and such. But
Your mom's here.
My mother-in-law is actually one of the people in this women's military memorial, so that was kind of cool to see her little what would you call that? I guess
his memorial, right?
Yeah.
You're riding for Navy in this.
I think I'm gonna ride for Navy. Now my son's best friend did play for Navy, so I got a little bit of that.
I've gotten enough responses that I'm Army. I think at this point, I think I'm on beat Navy at this point.
I think I'm a roll with Navy because I got a brother-in-law who's currently in the Navy. I think he's stationed in Virginia. So.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, just because.
Sides have been drawn now. I don't like y'all too, is what's happening now.
Go good. Navy, beat Army. Ugh, I kind of felt dirty to say that, but hey, okay, let's go.
These are my confessions.
Hey, Chris, can you help me out here? I sent you a little bit of audio. This is Jim Bowden talking about Kyle Tucker and what the Astros trade request that they actually denied.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, we got a little bit of news earlier today, in fact, about a trade, and this is the information that we got.
Jabrowski made that offer. He offered Castellanos and Bohm for Tucker, 2-for-1, and was turned down. The Astros don't like Bohm defensively. I know that, Rob Thompson told us at the winter meetings that he thinks he's a good defender and gotten better.
The metrics were in his favor this year.
They were. Yeah. And Rob Thompson told us that as well. But the Astros' evaluation is different. They don't view him there as a third baseman.
But they need a first
Castellanos,
baseman.
And Castellanos is a guy that chases out of the zone. He's older, and is inconsistent and gets some big hits. So you got to ask yourself, would you do Bohm and Castellanos for a year of Tucker?
So it seems like that was the deal that was offered. Mm-hmm. Bohm Castellanos for Kyle Tucker, and it was denied. I think I'm kind of happy to hear that.
I am too.
They
have a standard.
they do have a standard. They're going to make sure that they really extract as much value as they do. And it seems like also, and tell me if y'all think I'm reading this wrong, that also would seem that they want to get talent, but they also want to make sure that they get like younger talents.
Yes,
maybe with prospects.
I think it's
involved.
Part that for sure.
It seems like they want to get somebody that can play now and some talent.
Yes, I think that's part
which
of
might
it.
Be which might be asking
Absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. But here's the other. There are two other things popped into my mind when I was hearing this. Number one, they're making a deal. Like they truly, literally are making a deal. That one just wasn't right.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to make a deal. That's a given now. And the second thing is, if you can say what you want about the Astros and how much they're going to spend on or not spend on Bregman and all that, you can never question their player evaluation. Like their player evaluation has been
it's been money
off the charts.
Yeah.
Like pitchers, position players, players coming up. Now maybe not all of them live up to what you hope they will be in the outfield or whatever, but their player evaluation has been
their pitching been
pretty damn
money,
good.
Man.
Pretty dang good.
There've been some dudes I'm like, "Who?"
Yeah.
And they been holding
how about
it down.
Kikuchi? Yeah.
It was another cat that was in there that the guy that came up
and some young players.
Yeah, it was some younger players.
Hell,
that
you
came
can go
in.
Back to Jeremy Peña.
Yeah,
getting rid of Correa.
Was it Air Getty?
Yeah, and Air Getty.
Yeah, he.
So if they don't like Bohm defensively, then I don't like Bohm defensively.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I'm willing to ride with you there.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
Right. Oh, it's my goal. Yeah,
I was like, did you not have one? We could be done here.
Yeah, no. So yesterday, I think it was yesterday. We was talking about Danielle Hunter and what type of drink he is and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
And how did we get there?
I did it.
So I mentioned Blue MF'er or the Incredible Hulk drink. Mm-hmm. So somebody on the text line from the 281 said, "Figgy, drink the Adios MF'er." It's a Long Island iced tea with Sprite and blue Correco or
Curacao.
Subbed in. I'm like, man, I got to, I'm over them days. I'm not trying no dare drink. I know what I know. I'm not trying to get plastered. I'm trying to be comfortable.
Yeah, just have a good time.
Yeah, like, it's funny, whenever you start talking about strong drinks, people are like, oh, you got to try this drink.
Well, no, I don't want to.
I don't want to. The game ain't in me no more, man.
That's right.
I'm not drinking all this random stuff, man.
At all.
Just give me something smooth.
It'll mess you up. Yeah. I don't want to get messed up.
Yeah, we had a little drink last night.
Yeah.
That's my max right there.
Yeah.
I'm not going stronger than that. Those days are over.
Nice two. Get you to a place. Go lay down somewhere.
Give me an old fashioned. That's my limit right there, man. I ain't going hard in the paint, man.
At all. Yeah. As somebody said, bro, it's good, man. Different definitions of the word good, I believe, is what's happening there. All right, those are our confessions here on a Football Friday in Washington, D.C. for Army-Navy, which is put on by USAA.
USAA.
All right. That's right. Coming up next in the loop, we will welcome in Tim Pernetti, who is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. That is the conference that that Army won for the first time in a very long time of winning a conference title. We'll talk to the conference commissioner next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atitula along with Figgy Fig and John Lopez. We are at the Military Women's Memorial.
Yes,
is where we are in D.C. off the National Mall, because we are in Washington D.C. for Army Navy. It's year 125. It's the 125th edition, because they had some years back in the day where they missed it for various reasons.
Some of the reasons? Did you read the notes?
I did read some of the reasons.
They've only canceled like, I want to say, 5 or 6 games somewhere in there. But one of the ones that was canceled was in the late 1800s, because like the commanders of each university got into a fist fight after one game.
And they were like, we can't do this. All right, so yeah, when the game wasn't played, in the late 1800s, as you said, cancellation is rumored to have happened because of an argument between an Army general and a Navy admiral, which almost resulted in a duel. So it's not a fist
Hamilton
fight.
Hamilton style.
One of them almost had to go.
It's the cool team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, obviously, you're World War One. That makes sense. I do appreciate the late 1920s, where they were like, the academies could not agree on player eligibility standards, which makes it sound to me like somebody was bringing in a ringer.
Or 35-year-olds, you know, during World War II, or 12-year-olds, you know, one way or the other.
Like, I just
want to hear the argument.
How about you know how we'll settle this? A duel.
Bro, I'll blow you up right now.
Yeah, so we're expecting to be able to talk to Tim Pernetti, who is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, kind of get his feel on the college football landscape here. But before we get there, we were talking earlier, this was actually just in college football-wise for the University of Houston, who they hire a Florida defensive coordinator, Austin Armstrong, as their new defensive coordinator. I went and looked at it. You know, I love me some advanced stats.
Yeah, you do.
Florida was like 62nd in adjusted defensive net rating this year, which I was like, huh. Or adjusted, EPA per play, rather, not net rating. But I was like, oh, okay, that's I guess not concerning, but I was like, I was hoping to see like a really good defense there that you're like, hey, you're stealing them. But I guess that's the idea of bringing that guy over across P4, is that, you know, you're probably not going to steal a guy on a lateral move if he's like an incredible defensive coordinator, I imagine. But we'll see. Maybe that is. And I know Willie Fritz has really good he's a really good identifier of talent and builds a good program. So I guess you just trust Willie Fritz to get it right.
Well, and he's and you trust that he's going to evaluate right. Speaking of evaluation, you know, we mentioned this Connor Wegman now going to University of Houston, so changing some things up, and that's the thing about, you know, the college football world now. And of course, you know, we're going to have those discussions today, maybe even in this segment, but like the development, who was it, I saw somebody talking about it yesterday, like you don't have college football programs anymore, you have teams.
Yeah, because you're recruiting year to year. Like, that's one of the things that made it so shocking that Bill Belichick decided and opted to go down to the college level, because it's not even just like the, oh, well, you go into the, you know, talk to 17-year-olds and recruit them. You're recruiting constantly, because it's not just recruiting prep players. You're recruiting transfer players, which I guess that negotiation, as we talked with Brian Kelly earlier this week, is a little bit easier, because maybe it's a little bit more along the lines of money, as opposed to all the other ancillary things that you had to try and do to bring people in. But then you're also every year recruiting the players that you already have to keep them where you are. Like, there's so much. There's a lot of levels to this.
And it's kind of too bad in a sense, but I actually at the same time don't care. The too bad part, and I've had this discussion with people, well, and I'm sure you guys have too, you know, there's no true, well, he's a Kansas State Wildcat for life. You know, he's here because he loves what it is.
Like Kansas State.
Or he's an Aggie for life. He wanted to be, grew up wanting to be an Aggie. He's an Aggie. He always will be. Or Ohio State, a Buckeye, you know, whatever, in your case, Figgy. That doesn't exist anymore. But part of me also is like, it was always kind of a ruse anyway. I mean, there were some that absolutely wanted to be an Aggie or a Buckeye or a Wildcat or whatever. But
they were still making decisions.
They were still making business decisions, but now it's just more all on the table. It's all up, open.
And now I feel like these coaches now, like, I feel like they don't have to sell them on trying to win. Like, oh, you going to a winning program. Mm-hmm. Now it's like the money.
Yeah.
And where can I get you?
Yeah. I mean, and Wegman's a good example. He loved being an Aggie. I don't know if y'all saw the picture. I'm sure it made the rounds. Like, after the Texas game, he went back out on the field and was kind of emotional and looking at the stands that were empty and all that. Like, he loved it. But you know what? He made a great decision to go to U of H, because that was probably where he's going to play. It's where he's been able, to get a good deal, I'm sure.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tillman Fertitta, make sure to,
mm-hmm. he wants Ambassador Tillman.
Yeah. My bad. I apologize. I don't know. Is that in stone yet? Do we know yet? Is that a name?
I think he's going to get nominated.
Yeah, I imagine so. All right. So I do want to turn to the text line real quick, because something interesting has come here from the 832. Lopez, did you hear that Ron said that if he has to buy the wine, of course, that bet being whether or not Christian Harris does indeed play this weekend. You are in the positive aspect of, you believe he does play. Ron says he does not play this weekend for your Texans versus the Dolphins. If Ron loses and Christian Harris does play, he said he ain't paying that $100 or that level of wine. He's getting you a lesser brand.
Well, he's full of crap. This isn't McDowell's, man. This isn't cooking. This isn't,
hey, it's to him.
This isn't. I want McDonald's. I don't want to go to McDowell's. All right. All due respect. If we're talking,
he getting some Jameis, not no Camus.
Some Hamus. No. It has to be. I mean, a deal's a deal, and we know that. And I shouldn't be too confident, because there's still a very good chance,
I'm still on Ron's side here. We know the caution that this team typically has with their players.
Yeah.
And Christian Harris missed 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. Right? I understand that he's moving well and all of those things, but throwing him immediately into active play for the entirety of a season or entirety of a game, rather, feels like it might be a bridge too far. But we'll see. Like, that, it feels like it'll be super helpful for him to play in this, though, especially again against a team that likes getting the ball into space to the likes of Waddle and Hill and Achan, and even Jonnu Smith has moved with some really good explosion and fluidity in the open field. And so, having that linebacker who reads and reacts well is going to be really important.
By the way, I want the foil seal intact on that bottle of Camus. I don't want him pouring any,
You think he would go that far? You believe that Ron would go so far to avoid?
Hey, some of them bars be doing that, though.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, you think you drink a Hennessy, you drink a Paul Masson, boy.
I want it sealed.
Not Paul Masson.
I'm going to investigate it. It needs to be the foil
at
wrapped.
That point, just you don't need him to give you. Go ahead and, give you a Cash App or something. Yeah. And go buy yourself.
Hey, this ain't Crown. This Paul Masson.
Oh, no. That's the other thing. Yeah, he could easily, Cash App or Venmo the money. Again, I'm not too confident, but I'm somewhat confident on this. I want him to hand me
the bottle
of Camus. that's the
satisfaction,
the essence
for you?
Of the bet.
I've seen some people earlier today text on the fan text or on the text line 713-572-4610 that if the Texans lose this game, they're not guaranteed to win the division. Do you feel, and I know who I'm asking, so this is probably like not the right guy to ask, but does this feel any bit like a close to must win for the Texans, especially understanding the three games in 11 days, which, I mean, you had multiple people talk about the difficulty that that brings.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously this game itself will not feel like that because you come off a bye week, you have a full regular week. Next week, maybe it's 6 days as opposed to seven, but maybe more of a normal. But, like, again, tough competition.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe contending type competition, at least on the back two, and then you go week 18 against a division rival, and those things kind of get hairy. Does this feel like one that you absolutely need to get?
I think there's a lot of games that are close to must win, so I'm not gonna poo poo that.
We're close. That thought. We almost got it. Yeah.
No. I think there are a lot that are close. I think the next three could be close. Depending, I mean, even if you win this one, you don't want to lose. I mean, obviously, you could win the division, but you know, you don't want to lose all that ground, you know, and you want to show something against the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Ravens. No, I think there's a lot that are close to it, but it's not. I mean, I think it's truly the eye test from now on with this team. So. Yeah, not must win, but I can see where it's in that neighborhood. Yeah.
So down the stretch here, especially with this team being so close to clinching the AFC South, which again we understand that like that one isn't necessarily like the AFC South isn't necessarily going to be one of those situations where it's a possibility of a walk down, but like it's going to be more of success is not defined by wins and losses for you at this point. Like success is defined.
Yeah,
by,
for sure, because you're going to be in the playoffs no matter. You got to see what you can do once you get there.
Well, we welcome right now to the hot seat the commissioner of the athletic,
yeah,
of the American Athletic Conference is Tim Pernetti. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Sorry, a couple minutes late getting to the table here, just getting stopped along the way.
No,
it's all
fine.
Good. I understand. First and foremost, this is my first time taking part in Army and Navy, and what do you enjoy about this particular competition? Because I've been wanting to kind of see it through other people's eyes who have a little bit more experience than I do.
Yeah, so my experience is this. I attended the Army-Navy game once, 10 years ago,
yeah,
when I worked in television. And I was with my two young sons who were like 10 and 12 at the time. And they kept asking about Army-Navy. I'm like, and I just didn't say anything because you have to experience Army-Navy to actually understand what it is. And even though we had a glimpse that maybe we were going to have two Army-Navy games.
Yeah, how about that?
We were like, how's that going to play out?
Yeah.
Right? But it didn't happen. But I think in a climate like this, too, whether it's socially, politically, everything else that's going on, Army-Navy has a foundation of unity like no other sporting event in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I got the opportunity when I played in college at Rutgers to play against both academies multiple times. And, man, these kids, they'd fight you no matter the score. But until you stand behind them for their alma mater, you don't realize that. I remember one year in particular, I'm like, these guys have made a life decision, not a football decision.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you just respect the hell out of them. But Army-Navy's different. And it's hard to describe unless you've been there. So for people listening, like, it's a bucket list thing. Get your butt to Army-Navy before it's too late.
Right. And you're not the first to say that here today. How would that have played? I'm just curious. How would that have played out from the conference perspective if they played twice? And I'm wondering how they would have looked at it. Like,
yeah,
did they want just, just the one? I know the conference would have been on the line, but how would that have played out?
I think it's a great question for Coach Newberry and Coach Mark.
Yeah.
You know, from our perspective, I had a lot of friends about 6 weeks into the season that had control of big stadiums in the Northeast. Because, you know, in our conference, if you earn the right to host, you host on your campus.
Yeah.
And we're sort of like a merit-based conference. Like, if you earn the right, you host. It's performance-based. But we heard from all the big stadiums in the Northeast saying,
they wanted it again.
If your championship game is going to be Army-Navy, like, we have a lot of financial incentive to convince you to come, which was hard to turn a blind eye to. How would it have played out? I would not have moved the game. I would have let whoever was going to host it host it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have just been another Army-Navy game. People said,
but could you imagine on the campuses?
Gosh. People said, too, guys, they were like, hey, if that happens, those coaches are going to rest guys for Army-Navy. And I was like, well, people that say that know nothing about Army-Navy.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They are not doing that.
So you talked about this being a merit, you know, driven league, and I find that to be really interesting because that it feels like college football in general has tried to move towards more merits, big, you know, given driven kind of structures, especially with the college football playoff. I know for me, I have my concerns just generally, but it feels like people have kind of gravitated towards it. What has been your impression of the first iteration of it? Obviously, we still have the games to play, but how it's gone, what has been your general impression?
Well, I think that the important thing for everybody to know is that all the commissioners agreed in the summer. We were planning for speculation, chaos, mm-hmm. criticism, and we all sat in the room and said, let's let this 12 thing play out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get all the way to the end. And now people are like, all right, it's over. What do you think? Like, it's not over.
Sure.
Let's see how the competition plays out.
Yeah.
How do we feel about it? So I think we had multiple opportunities to play in to the playoff. I made a very strong case for Army mm-hmm. after they beat Tulane in our championship game.
Yeah.
And if you look at I always stand on the merits of our schools. Like, I'm not in the business of pointing my finger at any other schools
yeah.
and conferences.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at who did get in from the group of five and who didn't, you know, you have teams that lost games to powerful teams at different times of the year.
Yeah.
And even if you go back to the BCS, like Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, and I, we worked across the hall from each other when I was in my 20s at ABC Sports. He created the BCS out of his office.
Yeah.
But even back then, people looked at it, and they weren't sure how to determine, you know, who was going to get in and why. But what you knew is you could lose early and play late.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
And I think that thing is probably still there. But listen, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm disappointed Army wasn't given the opportunity
sure.
because I don't think anybody wants to see that style when the championship's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're getting first downs, like what happened in the Notre Dame game?
Yeah.
They just weren't getting first downs.
Yeah.
When they're getting first downs against anybody, you know what happens. Suddenly you got a 2-hour and 58-minute game.
Yes.
They shorten the game, less
yes.
possessions, mm-hmm. and away you go.
For yeah. sure. Yeah, and I mean, that's just, you don't, these teams know how to play it. You don't practice a lot against the
yeah.
styles of football that these guys play. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Tim got to say your name, Pernetti, joining us here in Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank Excited you. For Army-Navy here, the 125th edition, which is presented by USAA in D.C. All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by someone else here on Radio Row. It's Mike Mayock. We'll talk to him next.